How awesome is it today with technology that we could be here and also connected to what, Seaboard and Norfolk and Richmond and downtown Wilson? I mean, come on. This is a great day. It's a great day to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. And when Pastor told me that this was your special one day to feed the world and to be able to stand with a Convoy of Hope, I got so excited. And I thought, Lord, what an absolute privilege this is. So I want to share with you today just some thoughts. You know, the Lord really, there's a way he wants us to live. Now we can, you know, we can live any way we choose, I guess. But the way the Lord wants us to live is a life that is not full of care and anxiety and anxious thoughts. You know, it's a crazy world we live in, and it's all caught up in that. But that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. And so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the King James Version says, be careful for nothing. The new King James says, be anxious. But it's pretty much, you know, the same thing, of course. But this word careful, be careful for nothing. But, you know, not that way, but this way, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the Lord is saying to us, not careful, but prayerful. And it changes everything in our life. Turn your cares into prayers. And then here's the promise. And the peace of God, this is where he wants you to live. This is where he wants me to live. And the peace of God, you know, like, which passes understanding, will keep your heart and your mind. This peace is where the Lord wants you to live in your soul. Not full of care, not full of anxiety, but peace. As a matter of fact, in John, when Jesus said, peace I leave with you. And then he said this really special kind of intimate thing. He said, my peace I give to you. That word is the Greek word Irene. We get the beautiful name Irene from that word. But if you'll dig a little bit, what was it that Jesus said that was his that he now gave them? And that word literally means exemption from the rage. I give you. I mean, come on, it's raging all around us. And Jesus says, here is what I leave you. Here is what I give you. I give you exemption from the rage. Didn't we see it in the boat when he's asleep and the storm was pounding and beating and the disciples were sighing and crying and dying and they're waking him up, you know? And he just wakes up because he's been absolutely exempt from the rage. And he said, this is what I leave you. And so I want to just play with that word careful for a minute and show you how the Lord does want us to live. Because when we're careful, we just live unto ourselves. I mean, anxiety is very self-focused. You know, stress and all that, very self-focused. But if we can move from that into this place of rest and blessed, then we can have the right focus. And so I want to talk today about not being careful, but to care for. Because that's what we're doing today. For the poor, for the hungry, for those whose lives, you know, are nowhere near blessed and safe like our lives are. To care for. I want you to know this is the hallmark of the Christian church, to care for. This is what distinguished the Christian church in the first century. That church did not turn the world upside down with its dogma and its doctrine. No, it changed the world with its care for the sick and the poor and the untouchables and those no one would come near. When Christians began to show mercy and kindness and care for the weak and the sick and the widow and the orphan, we know that when the gospel came to Thessalonica, the Bible says a mob of evil men dragged Jason and some of the brothers into the city square. And they were just crazy, you know, with hate and crazy with rage. And you know what they said about the Christians? You know what they were accusing them of? In Acts 17, it says, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. How are they turning the world upside down? How were they so, you know, effective in turning the world upside down? Because the Christian church of the first century was just a motley crew of men and women who simply believed in the resurrection. Their message was Christ, but their manner was mercy. Their manner was to care for. Their manner was to help and to share and to bless and to lift. Their manner, yes, they preached the Christ, but their manner, that was their message, but their manner was to lay themselves down and to pour themselves out and to give themselves up. That is how they were turning the world upside down. Nobody had ever seen anything like this. As a matter of fact, the Roman Empire during that time of the first century had this wicked practice of infanticide for babies that were unwanted, and they would leave these babies on the streets. It was called the principle or the act of exposure. Think of that, little babies, exposure. And so if a Roman soldier had come back from a year campaign and his wife had a baby, they would just take that baby and expose it. They would leave it on the path near the woods, or they would leave it on the sidewalk. You could walk down the streets of Rome and there were babies being exposed, left to die, totally left to die, with not even a sense of conscience. It was just so common. You know, oh, is this a girl? Oh, we wanted a boy. And so we'll just expose her. Oh, it's a boy. We wanted a girl. And so here is this paganism and this unthinkable cruelty to little babies. And then here are these Christians. Now, they don't even have a New Testament. All they have is a born-again experience. And every time a Christian would hear a baby cry on the street, she would pick him up and care for him. To care for. As a matter of fact, the Christians began to take those babies, love those babies, cover those babies, care for those babies, and they did it to such a degree and to such an extent that over time it finally pricked the conscience of Rome, and they finally decided, well, maybe we shouldn't do this, and they outlawed exposure. And the Christians had that come to pass, not with sword, not with great preaching, but with a heart to care for. They were surrounded by paganism, by Jews that hated them and hunted them, and by the Roman Empire that would dip them in tar and light them as human torches. And yet the Bible says they just kept multiplying. We read in Acts 9 and verse 31, the churches throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they just kept multiplying. In Acts 12, 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. You just couldn't put it out. You know, when I was a little kid, I was not naughty like Steve Kelly was when he was a little kid. I was a pretty good kid. But one day, my mom used to smoke Kool's menthol cigarettes, and I knew where her matches were. And I just kind of thought, I went in there and I got those matches, and I went outside in the backyard. And I looked around, and there were some leaves, and there was some string, and there was some paper. And I lit one of those matches. Oh, buddy, it was amazing. I got this little fire going, you know. I'm so happy. And my aunt was visiting, and she looked out that back door. I can still to this day hear her say, "Dee, you better get out here." Now, when she said that, I wanted to put it out so there would be no evidence. So I grabbed all the leaves I could gather and threw them in to that fire. And back in those days, they didn't counsel you and give you a course in fire protection. No, they introduced you to the Board of Education, baby. I got introduced that day. You just couldn't put them out, because how can you stop so much love, so much mercy, so much kindness? You just can't put it out. By the end of the first century, the temple and the city of Jerusalem were completely destroyed. But by the beginning of the third century, Rome bowed its knee to the resurrected Christ. And in come on, somebody. Think of it. In 313 AD, Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, which accepted Christianity, and 10 years later, it became the official religion of the Roman Empire. Now, family, what was the power of their message? What was the persuasion that caused millions of pagans to finally agree Jesus is Lord? I'll tell you what it was. It was the message of Christ, but it was the manner of to care for, of mercy and kindness. We read this in the brother of Jesus, epistle, James 1:27. The religious observance that God the Father considers pure and faultless is this: to care for orphans, widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being contaminated by the world. Can I just, we just would embrace today that to care for is the heart of the King, and to care for is the heart of the kingdom. To care for is the very nature of God. Because we read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares. This is his heart. This is his nature. This is his character. He cares for you. And so he cares, we care. This is our new nature. Now, this is not my default setting in my old nature, where I pretty much just care about me. And, you know, what do you think about me? And that's enough of it. You talk about, how does this affect me? What's this going to do for me? That's what I was. But I got born again. And when I got born again, there is a DNA that comes through this incorruptible seed of the Word of God that comes into us. And I'm not just a better patched up me. I am a brand new creation with a new destination and a new DNA. The new nature. The new nature created after the image of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 24 says, put on this new self. Come on, this is better than Versace. This is agape. Nobody got that in the first service, Pastor. Nobody got that. Put on the new, listen, Ephesians 4, 24. Put on the new self. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is something we put on. The New Living Translation says, put on your new nature. Come on, Church of Jesus Christ. How many know half of the problems we face in a day would just change if we would get up in the morning and literally do this? Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And then John, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so also are we in this present world. He cares and we care. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him. As we are changed into his glorious image, the more we walk with Jesus, the more we become like him, the more we behold his glory, the more we are transformed into its very image. And I want you to know it's an image that cares for. I know, you know, sometimes I hear Christians use words and say things, and I raise my eyebrow and I go, well, whatever. But I think the three worst words I have ever heard a Christian say are these words: I don't care. How can you say that with a new nature? I can't think of anything that would be more discouraging or disheartening for me as a pastor to hear than for somebody to say, I don't care. No, that was the old you. He didn't care. That's not the new you. Like him, to be like him. In Psalm 146 and verse 9, it says, the Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for orphans and widows. He cares for these 680,000 children the Convoy of Hope are feeding every single day. This is, people say, we talk about missions. It's caring for. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 18. He administers justice. Come on, that's my father. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger. We don't know these folks that we're about to bless today. We don't know them, you know? We don't know a whole lot about them. They're like strangers to us. But you know what we're supposed to do today? We're supposed to love them. And we're about to do that. We're about to put love in action here in just a few minutes, Wave Church. We're about to do exactly what the scripture tells us to do, and that's to love the stranger. Because he said, you were strangers in Egypt. Well, man, I wasn't a stranger in Egypt, but I was a stranger in no man's land on my way to a very doomed, damned, and dying place. And you were going there too, so don't look at me like that. Love. Care, sacrifice, compassion. This is how the world knew in the first century that Jesus is real. How will they know that in this century? And as much as I love lights and smokes and buildings and great seats, that ain't how they're gonna know. Not because they won't know, because we're careful. I just got to look after. I just got to, you know, don't press this too much now. I mean, I got to look after me. No, because it's not about me. It's about something more than me, better than me, bigger than me, more awesome than me. No, and I can't get that focus as long as I'm anxious and careful and thinking about myself and how am I going to do this? How are we going to make ends? No, it's when I realize this isn't about me. I don't need to be careful about me. I got someone caring for me. I need to be caring for others. Loving the stranger, caring for those who have no father or husband. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:3, he said, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. You know, when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, he starts the story with a priest and a Levite. They were teachers of the law, holy men in flowing robes, easily recognizable. They had the creed and they had the code. They just had no concern. But the Samaritan, Jesus said, had compassion, and here, listen, and he took care of him. He took care of him. He reached out. Here, there goes the priest. He's just finished his duty up there in Jerusalem, you know, and he's done. He's on his way. There goes the Levite, and here comes this businessman, you know, on his way, and he stops, and here's what Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, you know, when Jesus is telling this story, nobody would ever say, I want to be like a Samaritan. That would have been the furthest thing from their mind. But look what Jesus is doing here. But a certain Samaritan, not priest, we'd have been cheering that one, not Levite. As he journeyed, so it's just serendipity. He just comes upon this thing, you know, goes, oh, dude. When he came where he was, when he saw him, and you know, folks, I think today, Convoy of Hope and Pastor with giving us this opportunity is going to help us to see something. We have to see something before we can be moved with compassion. It's easy as spirit-filled Christians in the 21st century to be moved with sentiment, and we give sentimental offerings because we're sentimental. But this is not sentiment. This is compassion. And this is a whole nother deal right here. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, and he poured oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. This may have been the first member of Convoy of Hope right here, brother. The priest and the Levite were careful, but the Samaritan cared for. And Jesus said to the Jews who he was telling the story to, go and do likewise. What? Did he just tell me to be like the Samaritan? Well, he told you to be like the one who had care for. Be like the care for Samaritan, not the careful priest. Go, care for the stranger, the wounded, the injured, the hurting, the neglected, the needy, the overlooked, and the disregarded. Come on. And as your pastor was introducing himself to you this morning, said, you know, listen, Carol and I, this is no joke. In Australia, we'd say, no word of a lie. No word of a lie. We have known and been able to watch your pastor's life for 40 years. Their marriage, how they've raised their family, their integrity. I have watched them go through hell and high water. I have watched them stand the test. We love these folks so much. But what pastor is presented to Wave Church today is so amazing. Let me tell you what he's giving us. He's giving us an opportunity today to be the hands and the feet of Jesus before we walk out that door this morning. And here's what Galatians 6:10 says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, that's what pastors brought us to today. And then it says this, let us do good to all. Why would we do good? Because it's our nature. Because we're born again. Because we put on the character of Christ. We do good because that's who we are. It's not just we do good, we be good. That come out pretty good. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Church, are you ready today to do some good? And then Hebrews says this, 13:16, but do not forget to do good and to share, watch this, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, many times I've been pastoring for almost 40 years there in Sydney. And when people, you know, walk out the door, we just want to know, was everyone pleased? Were you pleased? Was it good? Was everybody pleased? But can I tell you, that's not the most important thing on a Sunday. The most important thing on a Sunday is what I just read here. What we just read here. God is well pleased. Come on, let's leave a service where God is well pleased. And when we care for and are not careful, God is well pleased. Paul told Timothy, he said, teach those in your church who have funds. He said, teach those who are rich in this world. Now, most of the time when we get together and compare ourselves to each other, we don't think of ourselves as rich. But when the rest of the world looks at us, like half the population lives on $1.50 a day. Like half of the population has a per annum income of $450. So we can't exempt ourselves by saying, well, we're not that group. Yes, we are. We're this group right here. Teach those in your church, Timothy, there in Ephesus, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. How good is he? How good is he? The Lord richly blesses us for our enjoyment. But here's the deal. While we are enjoying the rich blessing of such a wonderful Father, we need to read the rest of the passage. Tell them, these folks that get to enjoy so much, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always ready to share. You don't have to wring it out of them. You don't have to bend their arm. It's their nature. It's their new DNA and the new creation. No, by doing this, They will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Or one translation says, that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I pity some Christians who are going to walk into the gates of heaven saved by the skin of their teeth, but never once took hold of the life that was truly life. Now, family, this is what we're about to do today. We're going to use our money, those of us who get to enjoy America, who get to enjoy, you know, living here. God called me away 40 years ago, but I still come back to this place. I still stand every time the National Football League in Australia plays the national anthem. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. I can't help it. I served here in the service, and I love this country. And we get to live here. And so tell them who are enjoying and blessed to do this with their money. So we're going to use our money in just a minute to do some good. We're going to get behind this good organization. We're going to help a whole lot of people. Come on. This is what we care. We care for those in need. We can't help ourselves. It's our new nature. And if it ain't your new nature, you need to be born again. Come on, the violent are abused. The disenfranchised, the marginalized, the alienated, the subjugated, the less fortunate, the depressed and the distressed. We believe Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We preach Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. But what transforms a culture is when we become like Jesus. Isn't that the goal of every true Christ follower? To be less like me and more like him? Don't we want to be more like Jesus? Paul said in Romans chapter 8, God knew his people in advance and he chose them. Here's the choosing of God. Here's what God chose you: to be conformed to the image of his son, to become like his son. That ought to be the goal, the true north of every Christian who walks with Jesus, to become like his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, so that many more would follow and know Jesus, because a whole bunch of us have become like his son. Now, we don't become like Jesus by being careful. We become like Jesus when we care for. Would you stand with me? I'm going to turn it back to Pastor in just a moment. What a privilege we have today as a church family to make a whole lot of difference. When I was a young man, you know, my goal was to change the world. I just want to change the world, Lord. Well, I'm a little older now, and I don't expect to change the world, but I do expect by the end of the day, I'm going to change someone's world, and so are you. And that someone's world really does matter. And those are real people with real babies and real situations and real problems. And we ain't no different from them, except we get to be on the blessed side of giving, not the receiving side of giving. And that's the only difference between you and me and them. And so, would you just humble your heart today before the great Father who's just blessed us? He's given us his nature. He's equipped us. He's drawing us to become like Jesus. And today, let's just be a force and an army for good. Let's do good with our dollars. Let's do good with our money. And let's get behind this good day. This one day, we're going to do this for a long time, but today is this special day to really help a lot of people. And I really want to bless Convoy of Hope in their heart. When I look at them, I think of those six mercies of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me, you know. I was sick and I was in prison and I was a stranger. And you built me a house after the hurricane blew it down, you know. And I just see these guys as a great tool for the body of Christ. They have the expertise. They have the experts. They know how to walk in the rummage and the rumble of mess. And they're here at the service of the Lord. And you and I get to partner with them and be a part of that. And every time we hear of a hurricane blowing somewhere, or every time we hear of something terrible happening, let alone the fact that they feed over 500,000 boys and girls every single day. So we commend you. And Pastor, thank you for giving us all this opportunity. So Heavenly Father, would you please take these simple thoughts today and would you put them deep in our spirit and in our heart, and let us hear past, you know, any person, and let us lay hold of what the Holy Spirit is laying hold of us for. Let us grasp that which we are being grasped for right now, for your honor, in Jesus' name.